Hello and welcome to yet another episode of The Fitness Solution. This week I've got a lovely little chat with Jodie Walker, who is an online trainer out of the Gold Coast in Australia, which is a beautiful part of the world. If you've never been, I recommend you go. But we had a really good chat. We kind of was going to jump on and have a conversation about things like eating disorders and things like that, because Jodie's got quite an interesting story about what she went through with that. And it kind of developed into so much more than that. Like these great conversations do, we end up going down the rabbit holes of imposter syndrome, and we talk about social media and all kinds of stuff. And it was just a really fun, very inspiring chat. And I think without a doubt, you're going to get a lot from it. Jodie's lovely. She writes fantastic articles on a blog. She has great social medias, which we get to tell you where to follow her in the interview. And I just generally think it's going to be something that you will indeed enjoy. Now, if you're looking for personal training online, then don't forget, all you have to do to get your personal training is head over to www.thegymstarter.com. And from there, you can either choose to join the Fitness Collective, which is my exclusive members group, or you can get personalized one-on-one online coaching from me. And all of that information is right there on the website. So please do that if you feel like you need to start picking up your fitness again. Right, that's enough rabbiting on from me. Let's get over to the glorious interview with Jodie. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. On the other end of the line today, I have the wonderful Jodie Walker. And Jodie is a coach based in Queensland, based on the Gold Coast, aren't you?
Yes, that is correct. At the moment, I'm meant to be in Melbourne, but I got stuck up here in March.
Oh, no. Stay in the Gold Coast till I get there, at least. And then we can have a beer together.
Cocktails
or whatever you drink. That'd be great. And Jodie and I connected on Instagram. I found she was part of a group of people that I want to become a part of at some point in my life. And I started asking questions about it. And we've just been chilling out on Instagram pretty much ever since. And her content is great. She's very knowledgeable. She's got lots of letters after her name. And she writes really accessible blogs. She's very open and honest on the social. And she's just a wonderful human being to be around. But hence, I've brought her to the Fitness Solution. So say hey, Jodie.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Have you had a good day?
Very excited to be here. I have had a great day.
You told me you was doing 10 deadlifts, 10 sets of deadlifts.
10 sets of snatch deficit deadlifts. It killed me.
I'm not surprised. What weight were you on?
I'm lifting 50 to 55 at the moment, like trying to push it up to the 55, and it was just like my grip.
That's crazy, because you're quite like, there's not, you know, you're quite a you're well-toned, like you're not massive. That's what I mean. You're not very muscular. You're very strong and very athletic, but you're not, it's not like you're packing a lot of weight to pull that kind of weight with. That's fantastic. That's amazing. Oh, wow. That must have killed you. I don't think I could do that.
No, it did wreck me, but we're good. We're good for the next hour and then I'll probably crash.
Yeah, good. That's all we need. I only need an hour from you, Jodie. That's fine. So thanks for coming on. Having like seen a lot of your content and looked at a lot about you, I know that you've kind of got overcome and speak about sometimes you went through an eating disorder and things like that. So do you want to just tell us your story, tell us what's happened, tell us who you are, and we'll take it from there. It's always a nice place to kick off with our guests. Like, let's take it from the top. So day one, when were you born?
Pretty much. Like, that's how far we go back. Like, so I guess my interest in nutrition started from the age of 12 years old and quickly developed into an eating disorder. So I pretty much like knew every nutrition label. I remember actually it was the time that nutrition labeling became law in Australia, because I was very stressed out at the start because I didn't know how many calories were in things. Right. And then more and more food started having the labels on it. So yeah, I had an eating disorder all throughout high school, and I hid it very well though, because I was a perfectionist. I loved my studying. And then I went into university, loved my studying, and like got so much value from doing well in exams that gave me like everything. And I don't even know where it came from, because my parents didn't care and it was just all me. And so I hid the eating disorder still up until probably after university. I spent 7 years at university studying, left, and still didn't really know what I wanted to do. I studied science, I studied arts, I did masters in public health, and then couldn't get a job in public health. I knew I wanted to do something to help people in terms of their health and with food and stuff. And then I moved to the Gold Coast, actually. And that's when
So you're not a Queenslander?
No, I'm from Melbourne.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, excellent. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't want to keep you from your family. You're a Victorian. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so, but I think I'm going to stay on the Gold Coast now. It's so much better. But anyway.
My fiance is a Victorian and she moved up to Gold Coast. Up there when she was about 10, 11. Yeah.
I think a lot more people are going to move up now. But anyway, So came here, did a personal training course for fun.
Right.
And then kind of like at that time, just realized that that is how I could actually help people. Because before that, I got a job in a real estate agency. And so it was like a small business agency though, just buying property. And yeah, didn't know what I was going to do. And then I decided I could help people from the ground up rather than top down, like in a public health approach. Yeah. And so I did the personal training course kind of for fun, but then it kind of led to me working in a gym and everything kind of just came together up until this point.
And where are you at now? How do you work with people now? And what do you do now?
So now I'm just online. Last year in July, I quit the gym. Just before that, I quit my full-time job and just kind of took the leap to, I was training some clients online before, but then I just like gave up all of that. And now I'm solely online. Everything's growing nicely and yeah, it's going very good.
It is indeed, isn't it? That's wonderful. So you mentioned the eating disorder that you picked up when you were 12. I mean, that's really young to pick up an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Do you come across that quite commonly? Like, is it normally kicking in that early these days? Or what do you think? You're quite a bit younger than I am, I think. Like, I'm 33.
I'm 33 too.
Are you? Oh, I thought you was like 21. God.
No.
Oh, I didn't realise you were 33. Oh, excellent. Oh, super. Oh, so you're not at all. We're the same generation. Because to be honest, over here in... Maybe it was just my ignorance, and it probably was. I wouldn't say any of my friends were dealing with anything like that. Nowhere near as much as
I think
they might have been now. But I think we're so much better as a society about talking about it. Or I'm just a lot more in tune with noticing it or hearing messaging about it compared to when I was 12 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of my friends didn't know about it. Like, not many people knew about it. I look at photos now and I think they must have known, because I looked so sick, but I never talked about it. Like, this is probably one of the first times I'm talking about it, like just freely. It's just been something that's been inside of me and not spoken about. So even didn't speak about it with my parents much, or I just kind of somehow recovered on my own. Actually learning macro tracking and learning about the scale, learning about fitness, that definitely helped.
So what was the disorder, if you don't mind sharing?
I had anorexia.
Okay. Was it anorexia bulimia or just anorexia?
Just anorexia, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
So I basically didn't eat.
So you just starved yourself, yeah?
Yeah.
And And what drove that feeling? Like, was it about wanting to just not gain weight? Was it about wanting to be pretty? Yeah. Was it about, like, what was it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I have done a lot of work to try and work this out. And I think it was coming from a lack of self-worth and a desire to just want to fit in and be liked. Yeah. And that kind of come from a fear of rejection and just a lack of self-worth, to be honest. Okay. So I was a people pleaser and a perfectionist, and very typical traits of someone with an eating disorder and very high performing, like always getting A plus, getting 100%, like doing everything. So yeah, I think it's actually very prevalent, and it's just a lot of, you don't see it. It's very, like, can be very well hidden. And it's very upsetting. Like, I've recently started doing TikTok videos, and TikTok has a very young audience as well as a, like, I'm on there and I'm 33.
I know, my first video was, hey, I'm over 30, anyone else? And my nieces who are like 10, 11, I don't know what they are, the 12, they were like, madam, you're on TikTok, you need to get off it. And I was like, no, I'm not getting off it.
It's great. Like, I actually am starting to enjoy it. It's very aggressive. Like, some people are very nasty with their comments.
I got called a plonker last night. So this guy, he was like, so I did a video all about how fitness is a human right. It's not a God-given right. And that means that we have to fight and we have to work for it. It's something you have to find within yourself, and it's something that you need to work for. Like, you know, is it human rights throughout history have been fought for, and your exercise is your human right, and you've got to find the energy to fight for it. And I did this video on TikTok, and I do them in little snippets, like 2 seconds here, 3 seconds there, 4 seconds there, so I can just change the angle so it stays a bit interesting. And I've noticed I was like rhythming in it with the T. So it's like, fitness is a human right. And I'd finish it like that, so I knew when to finish. And he came on it, and this kid was like, why do you pronounce your T's like that? And I was like, well, it gives it rhythm. It's how you speak in standard English. You should pronounce your T's like that as opposed to not. And I'm a professionally trained actor, so I know how to talk.
They love to pick on you. I've been harassed a few times for my pronunciation. One of my videos, of course, the one that goes viral, I said the word wrong.
And it's nuts, isn't it? And he went, well, it makes you sound like a plonker. So I just replied, and I went, is that a feeling you're used to? And then he deleted all the comments. And I was like, what an idiot. Wow. I know.
If they're that aggressive, I start blocking them now. Like, I'm pretty good. I let some of them stay, but some of the ones that just don't. Because the problem with some of the comments, and especially if you're stating facts that are scientific facts, and then other people are going and putting comments based on their personal opinion or belief or what has worked for them only, and people go and read those comments and just get more confused. And that is half of the problem.
So frustrating. I know. My last episode of The Fitness Solution was with a friend of mine called Terry, Coach Anderson UK. He is on TikTok and on the gram. And he went from 0 to 70,000 followers on TikTok. In about 4 months, 5 months. And he was telling me the story about, if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it. But he was telling me a story about a kid, a politics student, who's put up some video about water juicing or water cleansing and how it puts your body into ketosis and all the rest of it stuff. And he's never done it himself. He doesn't know anything about it. And this video, he has 5 million followers. This video has like 10 million views. And I put up a duet of, like, sorry, I put up a video of the podcast of Terry talking about it, and someone replied to me on there with my little following. Even I was able to reach someone, and he said to me, I did this and it was awful because of that video. And I was like, that's heartbreaking. I know, it's heartbreaking. But I mean, I'm quite in real terms, I'm quite new to Instagram. Like, I was pretty late because I've only been a personal trainer for 5 years. So I was a bit late to the bandwagon on it. And what I could tell, I avoided it a lot because what I could tell was Instagram was a lot like TikTok is now. Back then, like in sort of 2008, 2009. So Instagram got a hold of it. So hopefully TikTok will at some point, but it's a pretty brutal place, and there's just so much misinformation.
Well, I'm glad you're not terrifying. Me. I've been like, people tell me I look funny and all this other stuff.
Yeah, but we all look funny. Like, I'm sure I've been told I've got big ears and I look like Dumbo or I look like a geek because when I have my glasses on, it really like makes my head look weird. But it's like, you know, like the thing is I'm very fortunate in that I know full well that I look very strange. I'm very tall. I'm very lanky. I've got big ears. But I don't care. Like, and it's very easy for me to sit here and say that, but I don't care because I've had that commentary throughout my life. And it's been nonstop. I was bullied as a kid at school and everything else, but I've always had this sense of just strength about it. Like, you know, I was always, my mom drilled into me, sticks and stones will break your bones. Yeah. And so
they can say what they want to me, and I'll happily give as good as I get on there too. And then I'll also check myself, and I'll be like, if I feel like I've got something wrong, I'll be like, no, that's fair, I apologize, and I'll have an honest and open, frank discussion with someone and try and pull them around. But yeah, it is a brutal place, isn't it? So sorry, we've digressed like we always do.
So I was saying that's the point on TikTok, because it's such a young audience. I've been getting inquiries for coaching from like 13, 15 year olds, 16 year olds who are devastated with their bodies. And I'm just like, you do not need to worry. Go and live your life. Like, enjoy your youth while you have it. You're still growing. Like, get to a point where you have the base. Like, you don't know what you're going to look like in 5 years. Just let your body sort itself out. And I just, yeah, so I was so consumed by calories, I missed out on all of those years. And to see these girls that are just, and even some of my younger clients, and even anyone actually, I really think there needs to be more education around the scale, because everyone is so consumed about the scale, and it doesn't even reflect fully what you look like. I weigh the heaviest I've ever weighed now, and I look the best I've ever looked. Like,
I know, the scale is a bugger, isn't it? Because it's, I'm always very torn as a personal trainer, always very torn, because I know clients to me put a lot of value and put a lot of their achievement in what number the scale says. And as much as I agree that we don't, it doesn't define who we are and it has nothing to do with anything, I also understand that actually it is a big chunk of how these people view themselves. And sometimes I can't help but feel changing 30 years of thought, like a lot of my clients around my age, maybe a bit older, trying to change 30 years of thought with them in that the scale is irrelevant is probably going to make them feel more defeated than actually educating them that really on the scale, all we're going to be fighting about is maybe 5 to 10 pounds. Like, you know, if you can get your head around, really, if you get 5 pounds change on the scale, that's a huge win. Like, if you want to lose weight and you're going from, I don't know, to say 12 stone to 11 and a half stone, that's a huge win. You're not likely to be able to lose 2 to 3 stone unless you're probably 5 to 6 stone overweight, right? And it's really hard for people to believe that, because they've, like, I've had people who are, like, maybe like 8 stone, and they're like, I need to lose 2 stone. And I'm like, there's nothing of you to lose. And I can't sign off on this.
Weight loss when they don't need to, because I deal with a lot of skinny fat clients, because I guess that's what I was. And so I attract that kind of client, and I talk a lot about it as well. And they don't need to lose weight, but they're all trying to eat. Like, I deal with mostly females, and they're all trying to eat 1,000 calories. Like, that's crazy. And then what happens is they end up stressed, bloated, holding on to too much water, and feeling like crap, no energy, digestive issues.
Yep.
And they think they have to eat less to solve it.
I know.
And then they bump up their calories, and stress goes away, water retention goes away, the scale starts moving, and half, like, usually it needs to move a little bit, and then I like bump their calories up a bit more to just maintain, and then it's just that body recomposition process.
Don't you think a big part of that, it comes down to people thinking that I've just had a brain fart, as Jordan would say. Absolute brain fart. Hang on.
I'm the one that.
It's because it's still like, what is it, 10 to 7 in the morning. What was I going to say? So I find with those kinds of clients, they want to lose, I can't remember. This is ridiculous. They want to lose the weight. They want to lose the weight. And then, they think the only place they've then got to go, say they're on 1,000 calories, would be to 800 is probably what they think, which we know science has stated is pretty much the same as starving yourself. Like, it has the same physiological effect on your body as starving yourself. So don't ever go to 1,000 calories or lower, right? Ever, if you're listening to this, ever. And often, if you increase their calories up to 1,500 to 1,600, whatever, you know, somewhere around there, maybe, say, their adherence to actually staying within that is so much better. And it's going to keep them more adherent to actually where their fat loss calories should be, as opposed to it being at 1,200, 1,100 or 1,100, and them actually binging at weekends up to 2,200 or something, and then coming down to 1,100 for 4 days a week, and then going up to 2,200. And if you know, if you're watching the video of this, you can see my hands just going up and down. And it's the epitome of yo-yo dieting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible, and it's everywhere. And adherence is such a big thing. And I just think, I thought about a client that came to me recently, and she had done these challenges. And a lot of these challenges that are out there by these big influencers are set up to get them fast results that are not sustainable, and they don't actually help long term. But then because I just like...
I know, it's crazy, right? Like, for instance, say we used to get off this call and we're like, come on, let's do a program. And we said, I'll tell you what, why don't we say we're going to sign up 100 people and we're going to put them all on 1,200 calories a day. Don't ever go to 1,200 calories. We're going to put them on 12.
Let's cut out dairy.
Let's cut out carbs. It's going to be a 4-week fat loss protocol program. We're going to have 100 people and you're going to do it for 4 weeks. Okay. Now, after week one, we're going to have probably 50% retention of this 100 people. After week two, we're going to have probably 25%, all right, retention. So now we've got a quarter of the people and they've only got halfway through it. Week three, cut that in half again. So we're now at 12.5%. By the end of it, we'll probably get maybe 6% of people who have actually managed to get all the way through it. That 6% of people will make that program look amazing because we'd get some great before and after pictures. But that's 6% of the population that we decided to train. That is not the majority of the people who did this, okay? So just because, and it's similar to our TikTok friend, just because it works for one person doesn't mean it's gonna work for everyone. I had the same row with someone on Instagram the other day. She's a skinny coffee seller. And I was like, look, I don't care if it's worked. She's been training people for 8 weeks. And apparently this skinny coffee is the most magical thing there is. And I was like, you've been doing this 8 weeks. I've been doing it 5 years, day in, day out, 40 hours a week. Like, you do not know what you're doing. And you're, just because it's worked for you, just because you've lost some weight, doesn't mean everyone will, and it's going to work for everyone.
Exactly. And everyone has a different starting point. And then there's the whole lifestyle, behaviors. Like, behavior change is one of the biggest things I deal with, especially in the weight loss category. Like, skinny fat clients, I find they're pretty good at just sticking to things and they don't have so much issues with that. But the weight loss category is just habits, behavior, weekend, binging, stress.
Yeah. And it's also, and I think, I mean, we'll go on to skinny fat because I find that really interesting because I often think I'm probably skinny fat. But like the weight loss side of things, it's they're in such a prison, aren't they? That's what I find. And trying to find the right key to unlock that jail cell is impossible. Because I find 1 week it's one thing, the next week it's another thing. And I'm just constantly balancing all these bits and bobs with people. And trying to get a tune out of them that's consistent for more than a month, I find very difficult with them. Because of how trapped they are in themselves. And it's not their fault. And it's not my fault. And, you know, I work with fat loss clients for very long periods of time because I get them to see this and they understand it and we develop it very well together and we have a great relationship. And it's so much more than really what the scale is saying. It's everything that goes on in the brain. It's everything, how they feel about themselves.
That support and that relationship that you can build with your client is so important.
Ah, it's great, isn't it? I love it. Like my clients, I wrote an email yesterday and I was like, my clients become my best friends. Like I put up a YouTube video of working out with my mum and dad. And I was like, it's like my clients become my best friends. And it's weird when they're also like my top three priorities in my life are basically my fiance, my parents, my clients. And it's weird when like, have you got a fiance?
No.
Oh, okay. So it's parents and clients. So it's weird when like the two of them merge. And it was like, so it's weird because I am like my parents' personal trainer just by default more than anything else, if only they paid me. And and it was weird when those two things merge. And it was, and I, you can create such a key relationship. And the things that, you know, clients have confided in me and stuff like that, I'm sure you're the same, is it's quite scary actually that we can create these bonds and we have this kind of responsibility as well. Because I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychotherapist, and sometimes I'm like, I think I need to get a chaise longue and a couch rather than be a personal trainer.
I'm
studying
psychology at the moment because I'm like, I need to know about this more.
yeah. So let's talk about skinny fat clients, because I've never had anyone on here talking about skinny fat clients. So how would you define that? Yeah, how would you define that? What does it look like? Who are skinny fat people?
So in my opinion, skinny fat person is generally someone that looks lean, like their limbs are usually lean, except underneath their clothes, they've got this belly fat that they're just insecure about, unhappy. They lack any muscle tone, like, so their glutes are usually flat. And so in clothes, they look okay, but underneath the clothes, they do not. And what's the other definition for skinny fat? I just have my first blank.
That's all right. Pretty far.
But yeah, basically, they have a lot of body fat because they lack muscle.
Right.
So
okay.
The ratio, that's not quite
so
right.
So would it traditionally be, and I don't mean to box in people or stereotype people, but I imagine it'd be people generally who have probably never overeaten in their lives too much, but have kind of never exercised, never moved much.
Yeah.
And have probably like dalliance in the odd diet here or there when they felt a bit uncomfortable about themselves, got off some results and then moved on. Kind of, I don't know why, in my brain, I'm kind of thinking those typical sort of Juice Plus, Herbalife sort of MLM kind of people to an extent.
I think that you can just be a typical person that just hasn't had a sporting background or really been very active. Like for me, I was skinny fat and I was so studious. I played piano, I studied, and that's all. Like I did a bit of jujitsu, but that was like a Friday night thing for an hour. That was the limit of my exercise.
Friday nights in Melbourne are on fire. If it's jujitsu on a Friday night, I was out clubbing. I wasn't. I hate clubs.
But so the key is you don't really need to lose weight. You need to lose body fat and build muscle.
Yeah, so it's getting the gym, lift heavy.
Pretty much, like, and it just takes a long time, and it's frustrating because it takes so long, and you're not really going to see that change on the scale or any progress for a while, except for your lifts going up. And that is what I love to drive home. You've got to focus on your strength and building that, because that can change week by week, especially at the start, very easily. And that is what is going to get you the result that you want in terms of your body changing.
Yeah. So how would you program that?
In terms of the training?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just a basic, it depends on their experience and what they've done, like in terms of the programs they've done in the past. And so usually I start with very basic strength block to start with, and then some hypertrophy work, and pretty much it, like limit the cardio, take away any HIIT and stuff because they don't need it.
Yeah, compounds.
Yeah, compound, like pretty much all compounds.
Yep.
If they can, if they have the biomechanics, if they're not injured, teach them how to squat, teach them how to deadlift, teach them how to like press or bench and row, pull-ups. They're the basis.
Big
get
rest.
Strong in all three.
I find, I mean, I that's pretty much how I train all year round. And I find I'm resting in my workouts. And this is something I think people really need to get their head around. Like I'm resting for probably a good 2/3 of my workout. Like I'll do 6 maximal effort reps of, say it's a push day of bench, overhead press, dumbbell bench. I'll normally finish with maybe 3 sets of 12 push-ups. That's pretty much all I'll do, incline bench. And I won't do much else. Maybe some extra shoulder work, like lateral raises and front raises, but that'd be pretty much my workout. Maybe 6 exercises, 6 reps, 3 sets, maximal effort, and then I'll be resting for 2 to 3 minutes between each and every one, so I can get the most out of doing it again.
following those rest times in your program and not rushing through everything. Like some clients, the first week, it's just like, oh, it only took me 20 minutes to do. And I'm just like, what?
I mean, to be fair, I don't mind. Sometimes I will chop my rest down if I'm in a rush, or, and I don't mind making it very accessible for people. So like if actually all you can do is 20 minutes, then
yeah,
you can chop the rest down. But if you can take a bit longer, do, or just drop a set off. So like, as long as you hit your main compounds and you do those with the rest and the correct amount of weight that kind of like gets you to an RPE of like 8-9, then you're generally going to be doing pretty well. And then if you, you know, if you want to miss out the shoulder work and the press ups at the end, then do it. It's fine. Don't worry about that. You can catch up on those another day. It's not a big deal. But yeah, get the big muscles and the big lifts done first when you're feeling freshest.
And just keep focusing on getting stronger. Like so many, I always go back to females because that's who I work
with. That's fine. I see who I talk to. Yeah.
Same thing over and over, like week by week, and not getting any results, of course, because you're just doing the same thing.
Yeah. Do you find
challenging yourself?
Do you find with women it's hard to get them to sign into a strength training program, a hypertrophy program? Yeah,
I wouldn't call it that at all.
No, fair enough. What do you call it?
Just weight training, yeah, perfect. I guess.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I get a lot of messages from people going, How do I go to the gym and not get too bulky? Like, I'm like, you're a woman, you're not gonna get too bulky, trust me. Like, I mean,
I like to show myself lifting as well on my Instagram and stuff because I can lift heavy and I'm not bulky. Oh, no. So I like to show people that, you know, and I show myself in bikinis and stuff because I want them to see that it's not going to make you big and bulky. This is my body. This is what I do. And I'm proud of my body now anyway, but I have had that whole, I feel a bit superficial, like posing in bikinis and stuff, but people want to see like what I'm doing and what the result is. So, and I guess it helps to inspire them. So,
well, I think with that, like I try to make sure I try and keep my Instagram account a topless free zone, right? And what I mean by that is I'm not just going to take selfies of me out of the gym with my shirt off just because, one, because no one really wants to see it, but also because I'm quite lean, but I'm naturally quite lean. Like, having said that, I have lifted, you know, pretty consistently quite heavy for probably 4 years now. So, you know, I've worked hard to get my body to where it is, but I personally don't think it helps the people I talk to personally seeing me topless, because I don't want to create that kind of environment of just making people feel like shit, basically, because of how I look.
Yeah, and how they that's look. What I'm conscious of as well.
But and I'm not saying you do this, but the thing is it's what I've now come to realize, that this used to be my attitude for 3 years or so, but I started introducing them a little bit now. And it all comes down to basically where your heart's at. And it all comes down to basically, you know, what is the message behind that photo? Like, you'll still go through my feed and you won't see them. I'll still only put them on stories. But it's like, it's not about, and I don't ever put it there to pose, to go, oh, look at, you know, look at me, look at me, look at me. Because that is, for want of a better word, complete and utter self-indulgence and fitness masturbation, basically. and so I'll put it up. Sometimes I put it up before I'm about to go swimming just to tell people I'm off for a swim. I can't swim in a shirt. So what do you want me to do? It'd look weird if I wore goggles and a shirt. Do you know what I mean? Like, as long as it has a point and your heart's in the right place. And I think that can shine through. Yeah. And I think it does shine through on your posts and stuff, you know. So I don't think you've got anything to worry about. It's the people who just, for topless photo's sake, put it on there. I wrote an article about progress pictures. And I call them work in process photos now. I don't call them progress photos or before and after pictures or anything like that. Go read the article. It's really good. But on that, I said, I was like, I Googled FITSPO, like fitness inspiration. I think it was on that article. And you put that in and it's not inspiration. It's not inspiration at all. It is pictures of people being very self-indulgent who basically want to make people feel like absolute shit about themselves. or make other, make people feel crap about themselves. It's not fitness inspiration at all.
And the terrible thing is, these people that are posing as fitspos half the time are not healthy and don't feel great themselves.
I know. I had a guy on Instagram. He had like 32,000 followers or something like that. And he was in Melbourne, interestingly. Oh, no, I think he was in Sydney. And he messaged me. It was after I had Jason Maxwell on the podcast. And J-Max was my coach for a while. He's a lovely guy in Canada. And he, this kid messaged me. And he was like, can I come on your podcast? And I was like, okay. So I looked through his feed and tried to see what he was about. And that. And it was very much lots of reposts of people who know what they're talking about and stuff. And I was like, okay, well, what do you want to talk about? And he was like, oh, I don't know, bruv. Like, I got this, I got that. And if someone calls me bruv, it turns me off straight away. I'm not a bruv. if you're going to call me bruv, you never watched one of my videos and you've never, ever, ever listened to anything I've ever spoken about ever before. And we got into this chat and he was like, oh, I want to talk about why people should never go to McDonald's or Macca's, as you call it out there. And I was like, okay, why? And he was like, because, you know, I used to do it and I used to be fat. Now I've lost weight and I think people should just stop eating shit. And I was like, okay. And I was like, so tell me about yourself. What do you do? The rest of it. He was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, what do you do? And he was like, oh, I'm still studying at school in Sydney. I was like, how old are you? He was like, I'm like 18. I was like, have you ever trained someone? He was like, no. I was like, have you ever done anything relating to helping people in your life ever? No. I've just got this fitness account and that's it. And I know how to get fit and I'm going to study soon. I was like, I was like, mate, come back to me in 10 years time and we'll have a chat if you've survived. A following does not equal knowledge, does not equal understanding. And it's something I really struggle with because I think my content's pretty good. And I work so fucking hard on it every day. And I sit there at 5,000 and I see people like him with 32, 35, 50,000 followers. And I'm like, it's just such an unfair clout, isn't it? And I know the following doesn't define our numbers, but it doesn't define our training or who we are as people. But it does feel like it's a very unfair marketplace sometimes. And it's what annoys me more is they're misleading people.
That's the thing. And the information we're putting out needs to reach more people.
I know. I had someone yesterday on my gram say, this is the greatest fitness quote I've ever come across. And I was like, my God, only 10 people have seen it. But those 10 people, hopefully, enjoyed the post. And it's like, you know.
Well, that's why I really like TikTok, because the reach is a lot better on there than what it is on Instagram at the moment.
Yeah, of course.
So, which makes putting up with all those aggressive people worth it.
I love it. I love getting into an aggressive fight. My fiance has to tell me to back off sometimes because I do get quite vociferous on it.
I have started getting very defensive, even just like going into there to check the comments and stuff. I'm like putting up these guards. Oh, no. But I've come a long way because I used to be very scared to put myself out there. Okay. And I used to care so much about what people thought of me. Some of those comments in the past would break me down and I'd stop altogether, kind of thing. And so now for me to just be able to be like, that's their insecurities or their problems, and just let it go, I've come a long way, thank goodness.
Have you ever had something that's kind of stopped you in your tracks like that?
What do you mean, like, oh, people like not support
me? No, like, I mean, I know once I did a video on TikTok. It was all about, someone asked me about what kind of vegetables should you eat or something like that, to lose weight or something like that. And I came back with quite, in hindsight, it was quite a patronizing video. Because I was just like, no one ever got fat from eating too many fruits and veggies. Now just repeat this after me. It's very important you understand this. No one ever got fat. And it was just kind of that sort of theme. And it just got a bit out of control. And I just got a bit exuberant in doing it. And I just got a bit, I have a habit in my life of being a bit over energetic with certain things sometimes. And I just misjudged the whole situation. And it does. When I did that and he came back to me and was like, that's just really patronizing. I didn't enjoy that at all. I was like, oh. Because it stands against everything I stand for. Like, I want to help people. All I want to do is inspire people and help them. And when you miss the mark with someone like that so much, it really took the sail out of my to the wind out of my sails, and I was just like, oh no, what have I done? And like it really put me off for a while. I was like, oh, I better be quiet for a bit now.
I haven't had anything like that happen, but I do. It's hard, like it's scary every single day putting yourself out there, making content, and I question everything. And I'm very lucky and thankful for my science background, because when I was doing my science experiments and writing these practical reports, my pathology lecturer actually told me, you have to reference every single sentence that you write in that report. And they were expecting like 3,000 word reports. So I had to reference everything. He's like, this is not your discovery, this sentence, like someone else knew this before you. So go and find the reference and reference it. So now I have trained myself, everything I say, pretty much everything I put out there, I'm like, is this actually correct? Where did I learn this from? Like, where's it coming from? So it's hard though. It's tiring.
You know, I try and reference my articles as much as I can, especially if it's, you know, if I'm talking about, I don't know, how inefficient smartwatches are at reading heart rates or whatever, you know, like, and I'd never want to sit there and claim something for myself if I didn't come up with it first. But there's also a line in the fitness industry where the message is so widely known. Like, how do you find the source of, like, who invented the calorie deficit? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not possible. And so it's hard to know where that line sits, but I've had such an education since I've started writing more articles. I've had such an education on trying to figure out how to reference, because I got my degree. My degree is in acting. I didn't have to write a single word. I didn't have to do a single essay. I didn't have to do anything like that throughout my entire education. I'm a Bachelor of Arts, not a Bachelor of Science. And that's why all my mindset stuff is so like good compared to like my nutrition and how I read your article about sugar. And I'm like, you say the word polysaccharide to me, and I think you're talking about a bird. and it's just nuts. And I'm like, I do know it, but I don't own that content. I don't own that knowledge enough to be able to talk confidently about it. And I think that's another important point. Like, I know what lane to stay in. And if I have to come out that lane, I know that article is going to take me a lot longer to write, because I've got to really freaking read it and really try and figure it out, because words like that confuse me greatly. I think that's to my advantage, because I think they confuse the general population greatly. You know, monosaccharides, that's polysaccharides, trisaccharides, all these things. I remember in my PT course, I just freaked out when we was doing that topic.
Really?
Yeah, I just had to kind of bluff my way through it, and luckily I did.
I fell asleep in my PT course because it was just like, this is nothing compared to the biochemistry I studied at university.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, then when it comes to psychology and mindset, I did 3 years of movement psychology at university and at drama school. And I know, you know, how the body affects the mind, and I know how you can change it, and the way different thoughts work and all this kind of stuff. So it's funny, isn't it, how like we can all pull from each other and balance all these things up, and then we can create that body of work.
You are trying to continue your education and learn, and it's a never ending journey. And I think we are responsible to make sure that we keep educating ourselves and keep getting better and improving, not to just inspire our clients and the people that follow us, but to always be better for them. Like, because there's so much to learn, so much to know, and you're dealing with a human being. Like, that is the most like
complex
it's crazy.
Person there is. It's the most complex thing you're ever going to come across. Yeah, and I think I used the word what is it? I say we need to understand our humanity a lot more. And I'm like, I can't remember what phrase I use. It comes to me time off and on. But being empathetic, like understanding your humanity, understanding that you are a human, is one of the greatest gifts in the world, because you'll understand that you are always going to change. You're always going to evolve. You're always going to be different. Every day is going to be, you're going to present as a different human person. And understanding our humanity like that is so incredibly important. Like, you know how Jordan always talks about motivation, and it's like you have to do action, then you get results, then you get motivation, right? I call that track, repeat. But it dawned on me that actually I felt like you needed to put another thing at the end. Like, do track repeat, but I said repeat and learn, because I find a lot of my clients lack inspiration. And the only way to get inspired is to educate yourself. And when it comes to our kind of work, it's like you have to constantly educate yourself, because we're constantly trying to stay inspired. You know, Tchaikovsky said, inspiration is a guest that doesn't visit the lazy. And at drama school, it's the same. We had to learn so much. Like, I know I don't know how to read a science paper. I don't know how to reference stuff. Thank God, cite this for me on the internet. And honestly, I do struggle when I look at like a scientific experiment. I'm like, why have they put the conclusion at the start and the conclusion at the end? Why is there this thing called the article at the top? I'm so confused. Just tell me what I need to know, please. And like, I've had to work really hard on understanding all of that, but doing that keeps me inspired to keep producing content. And at drama school, we had to go and watch plays. We had to watch in-depth films. We had to read books, the most boring books in the world, on Stanislavski and Uta Hagen and all these great practitioners of the theater, just to understand that in order to create art and to be inspired and to create a world, which is what you have to do on stage and in film, is to be inspired. And it's something that takes a lot of hard work. And if you're listening to this and all you get out of this conversation is not what a polysaccharide is that if you want to stay consistent and you want to keep energized and engaged and you want to keep working hard and be very adherent to what it is you're doing in the gym, go and learn about it. Go and take it on as your new hobby. You wouldn't become a botanist if you didn't learn about how different plants work, or you wouldn't become a baker if you didn't understand how different flowers work. Like, even if it's just a hobby of yours, you're going to educate yourself around that hobby. Whereas a lot of people don't do that in the gym.
And it's exciting, though, to actually learn to understand your body and how it functions and to work with it rather than to try and fight it and work against it. Like, it just makes such a difference when you actually work with your body, because your body is beautiful and like a complex system that knows how to take care of itself. But we just come along and stuff it up.
It's like, imagine our bodies are always saying to us, why are you doing this to me now? Come on, for crying out loud. I've been doing just fine, and now you're not giving me the food I need, and you're messing me up. And then it has to readapt again, and then I have to readapt again. And it is, isn't it? I bet the body is constantly having a fight with the human all the time, because it's constantly evolving and adapting. That'd be a very, very funny cartoon to do. Or like, it'd be a funny TikTok video, wouldn't it? My head, my body. I'm not sure I can be bothered to create that. But yeah, it is really interesting.
It's funny you say that, though, about the whole being inspired and like growing and evolving. And for me, I'm the opposite, because I've always been super shy, not confident, not very good with my language and speaking. And so I've been going hard on YouTube this year and just watching myself get better on video. I know I sucked at the start, but I had to put it out there
We all suck at the start.
Getting better. Yeah. And so like, it's that I love making the videos, because I love that process of growth and I'm addicted to that process. And if you can get addicted to that, that is like the best thing for you, I think.
And I think that's the key, you know, like, I'm sure you'd agree. We're all like, look, don't focus on the result, focus on the process, right? Because the result will take care of itself if you get the process right. And people will say that till the cows come home. Fitness trainers, you go on any fitness account in the world, there'll be a post that's about focusing on the process, okay? Just a fact. Yeah.
I posted it on stories today. There we go. But more as
right, there we go. But how do you focus on the process? Like, how does that happen? It's not a case of just focus on getting to the gym three times a week. Actually, what people don't talk about is finding your inspiration for the process, is educating yourself, is understanding what you're doing and why you're doing it, is creating thoughts and understanding, is challenging your trainer on why they've done this based on knowledge that you have found elsewhere and that you want to open a discussion with them. Like, I do a thing in my Facebook group, the Fitness Collective, called Treadmill Talk every Wednesday, and it's like a Q&A. And I generally get questions from the same couple of people each week. And those couple of people are the ones who do this. They're the couple of people who educate themselves, who form very good opinions and are always asking me questions about it. Always asking me questions about their fitness.
The ones getting them amazing results, I'm sure.
And they understand that the process they're in is ever evolving, and that's what's generating the questions. And those who stay quiet, those who don't ask questions, those who don't communicate, they don't last as long because they're not in that mode. So if you really want to understand how to focus on the process, the most important thing to do is ask as many questions of your trainer as you possibly can, and ask as many questions as you can of yourself, and find the friggin' answers. If your trainer posts an article, if your trainer does a long form YouTube video, friggin' watch it. And don't watch it because they need the views or they need the likes. Watch it because it's going to trigger a thought in your mind that's going to get you more focused on the process.
Yeah, I'm so big on that. And all my clients have access to me on my WhatsApp. Mm. And I'm like, ask me questions, as many as you want. I will never get sick of answering because I want you to understand this so that you can get rid of me and go off and know how to deal with your body on your own. Yeah.
And also, do you know what? We secretly really love questions because it means we don't have to think about content.
It's so true. It's so helpful getting a question.
Because it's like, you can turn it into a tweet, turn it into a video. It's the quickest thing in the world. It's great. So, but also, so you can stay focused on the process. That's more important to us. We'll find content elsewhere. Right, Jodie, I think that's a great note to finish on. We finished with a bang there. That was wonderful.
That was very good. Thank you so much for having
me. My pleasure. Where can everyone find out about you, catch up with you, do all the things that you do?
Probably all my links are on my website. So just coachjodie.com. So J-O-D-I-E.
Good.
Jodie.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Thanks so much for coming on today. I hope you have a lovely evening in Oz. And hopefully we'll be, hopefully we'll be in Surfers Paradise having a beer sooner rather than later.
Good.
Perfect. I'll see you very soon, all right? Cheers, matey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jodie. I hope you learned a lot. I hope you got a lot from it. And I hope you felt as inspired as I know we both did after we got off the phone. It was recorded at 6:30 in the morning, UK time. So if I was a bit sleepy or the brain farts that kept occurring, that's probably why. I can't wait to head over to the Gold Coast to have a beer with Jodie, which I'll be able to do when the Australian government say to me that I can, which I'm very much looking forward to in the future. And then everything will be coming out of Australia. How exciting is that? But that's enough from me, I'm sure. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you more than you will ever know. And I can't wait to bring you another top interview next week. As I mentioned in the intro, if you want to sort out your fitness and you want to work with me, then you can completely and utterly one-on-one online or via the Fitness Collective. All you've got to do is head over to www.thegymstarter.com. That's it from me. Have a wonderful week. Ciao, ciao.